Second epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 2. Let us read with the help of our Lord. Let's read the whole chapter. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God, seated in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation, and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, and establish you in every good work, every good word and work. This is the chapter. Let us now stand up, or whichever way is convenient, join our hearts in a prayer and thanksgiving to our Lord. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this trustworthy testimony that Thou hast given by Thy Holy Spirit to Thy holy apostles, and Thou hast recorded by the same Spirit that this word of Thine may reach even our hearts in these last days. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for that blessed word of Thine. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, that Thou teach us how to value this message that Thou hast given us. Thou, Lord God Almighty, by Thy goodness and grace, by the gentle and mighty power of Thy Holy Spirit, open our hearts and minds to Thy word. And Thou help us, O Lord God Almighty, to see and to understand the way of Christ, the path of righteousness, the teaching of the Holy Gospel, that we may be wholly given to follow Him, our Lord and Savior. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou keep us from the deception that we see around us in the world, that with lips are praising Thy goodness and grace and lifting up their hands in some kind of an excitement, proclaiming that they are saved and yet not following the path of righteousness. Gracious Lord Almighty God, we pray for that living faith that is testified, witnessed by the deeds in obedience to Thy holy word. Lord God Almighty, Thou strengthen us in that faith of Thine, faith of Thy beloved Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in His faithfulness. And Thou, O Heavenly Father, give us obedience and zeal for Thy holy word, and give us that deep and strong awareness that Thou art a real, true God, Almighty God, the Creator of the universe and the Savior of sinners, all those that call on the name of God with obedience to Thy holy word, in obedience, O Lord. We pray that Thou give us meekness, that we be not looking for great things in this life, that we be not seekers of signs and wonders, but that we may have that spiritual sight, seeing the great and glorious wonder of Thy holy word, being used by Thy Holy Spirit to change the sinners and make the heirs of the heavenly kingdom. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Thou make us and keep us humble as Thou art leading us on the path of righteousness to the glory in eternity. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we pray that Thou continually purify our thinking, emotions, affections, and that Thou sanctify our souls by Thy Spirit dwelling in our hearts and ruling our lives. Gracious and loving Lord, Almighty God, our Savior, we pray that this word of Thine be our daily walk and our daily food and our daily testimony. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, make us faithful witnesses to Thy truth. And Thou, Lord God Almighty, bless Thy holy word, multiply it in our hearts, confirm Thy word in our lives, and grant us, O Heavenly Father, that we follow the Savior, having peace in our hearts, peace of Thy forgiveness, peace of Thy safekeeping of our souls, and the security that Thou hast provided for us in Christ our Lord. Thou give us the joy of Thy salvation. May we daily observe how Thou art, even today, in these last days, giving Thy protection, Thy guidance, Thy instruction to Thy people. Lord God Almighty, we pray that this message of Thine that Thou hast given us in Christ may sound forth throughout this world, first by our godly living, and then by the words inspired and guided by Thy Holy Spirit, words from Thy Holy Scripture, through our hearts, through our lips, O Lord. Guide us and protect us, O Lord. Keep us from the pollutions of the world. Keep us from the evil, the worldly thinking, unclean affections, sinful emotions. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Thou continually purify and sanctify our inner man. Lord God Almighty, we pray that Thy grace be outpoured continually and multiplied upon Thy children, O Lord. Thou daily grant us Thy forgiveness so much that we be blessed by Thee with a forgiving, loving and forgiving heart. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, as the day of Thy coming is approaching, we pray, O Lord God Almighty, that Thou grant us endurance, that we be not deceived, that that day of Thy coming will come sooner nor later, but that we be always ready, as Thou hast admonished Thy disciples, be on guard, watch and pray. Let no one deceive you. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, Thou bless our prayers and our praises, and bless our efforts to reach out and to proclaim Thy gospel. And in everything, O Lord God Almighty, manifest the power of Thy Spirit, exalt the name of the Savior, for in Him Thou art well pleased, and may Thy Lord be honored and glorified forever. Amen. I think that it would probably take quite a few meetings of ours that we go verse by verse through in this chapter. But my desire was that we focus mainly on the miracles and lying wonders, because for quite a while that was a trend in the world to somehow attract a greater number of supporters, listeners and followers by declaring or proclaiming that the Lord has done some miracles through this man or that man, through that meeting or this meeting. When we pay attention to the miracles that are being talked about these days, we might notice that some things are talked about. We can see that the people, even those that are, hardcore deceivers, are afraid of pretending that they are raising the dead. And they are afraid of pretending that they cleansed the lepers, or that they restored a member to a body that was dismembered. Where there are obvious proofs that someone was an invalid or a sick man, then they would beware and keep themselves from being caught in their lies. We can see in these verses that we read that in the verse number 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So the longing or the great desire for miracles in the last days has its place in the circles that have not been saved, that have not received the love of the Lord. Now, should we make a strong judgment against anyone that might be thinking about or desiring that there be some miracle? If we see that in a family there is a member of that family that is suffering from some sickness or some difficulty, I think that in their grief, in their concern, in their desire to help and feeling helpless, even the sincere and faithful believers and the seekers of the truth, or those that uphold the word of God, otherwise might be thinking in their heart, oh, if the Lord would grant a deliverance, healing from this sickness. It's not necessarily in every case a desire for fame or to advertise that one person or one group is especially gifted with some miracles in order to attract a larger number of supporters. But in any case, we should be very careful not to be miracle hunters, not to try to say that, look, this or that little thing happened, what a great miracle. Everything is a miracle if we trust the Lord, if we see that God has, even in these days of great apostasy and perversion, when there is a rare thing to see a man, a woman, young person or old, sincerely seeking the word of God. Even today, the word of God is available, and that miracle of salvation is going on for all those that believe the word of God. I don't mean to say that God is not able today to do great things just as He did any time in the past. What I do say that God's will and ability does not depend on human weakness. We do need more faith. And we pray and seek to be strengthened in the faith, to be confirmed on that true foundation, to endure walking after our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to keep, to uphold the Word of God, to walk in the light of His truth. And we need Lord's help and encouragement from one another, and the guidance and teaching from the Word of God. All of that is very necessary. All of that can be a true blessing to every sincere child of the Lord and to everyone that sincerely is seeking the Lord's guidance. What I do say, that God can do miracles even if no one will believe. Was not the great flood a great miracle? And how many people did believe? Was not building of the ark an enormous miracle? And how few people believed. And as I mentioned earlier today, when a group of people, after the death of Elisha the prophet, a group of people was moving on with the dead body of a person that probably died the preceding day, and there on the horizon, or not very far away, appeared a group of the soldiers, their enemies. These people were so afraid that they didn't have time to reach the burial place for this dead body that they carried on, that they dropped the dead body in the sepulcher of Elisha the prophet, and as the dead body touched the bones of Elisha the prophet, this dead body revived, was returned back to this life. I wonder what happened to these soldiers of the enemy. They probably ran away scared, because most of the people that do not understand the word of God are afraid of the dead more than of the living. So, these people did not ask for a miracle, apparently. They didn't expect something to happen. They were afraid of their enemies. And the Lord performed that miracle. I believe that God can do great miracles if God can use the means and ways or can allow the people to destroy hundreds and thousands of people by explosion. What would be reviving hundreds and thousands of dead bodies? Just the reverse process. Getting back those tiny particles of that material and chemistry reversed and physical thing, the process will just be reversed and they would revive. God can do that, yet He didn't. We can also think that the Lord is limited by our weakness or weak faith. I don't think so. He might be limited in so much that we are limiting Him, but He is not limited. Just as someone who does not believe the word of God makes God liar, and yet God is not liar. His word is true, and He is truth in Himself. We might read something in the Gospel, and I don't have that verse recorded at hand or the reference here in this book, that the Lord was preaching in one place, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the people did not believe, and He could not do many miracles. Not because of their unbelief. He was disabled or unable or it was impossible for Him to perform a miracle. No. It's similar, if I understand correctly, it's similar to the other passage that says that for God is impossible to lie. Whatever is inconsistent with His nature, God will simply not do it. It was impossible for our Lord Jesus Christ to fall down and worship Satan in expectation that all the kingdoms of this world will be His. Why? Because He just knows that that's a big lie. So, the power of God is not limited. It's very important for us these days to follow the gospel, to understand the word of God, and to rely on His power. If His will is, He's going to perform all that His will is. If we see that someone is sick, should we not pray for the help of the Lord? Yes, we should. I believe we should. And God can heal slowly or rapidly. He can heal even instantly, if that is His will. But we rely upon His will and His word. I believe that every miracle that was performed through the apostles by the Lord has commanded them to perform that. And yet we know that the 70 disciples were walking two and two in every place, in every town and village, and they did heal in the name of the Lord. But later on, they turned away from the Lord. And the Lord said in the gospel that many will say unto Him on that day, Lord, Lord, in Thy name we did many things, great things, wonderful things. And still the Lord will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. So, in the Epistle of James, we find that, if I remember correctly, I think it was in the Epistle to Epistle of James, that I might need some correction here. Just one moment. Well, I just didn't find it. I think it's in the Epistle of James that faith that is pure and without blemish is doing good works, visiting the sick and the widows and the needy, helping those that are in need, and keeping ourselves unspotted by the pollution of the world. I probably did not quote it word by word from this version of the book, but in any case, I believe that that's the meaning of the verses that I, at this moment, did not manage to find. Maybe later we will. James 1, what? 127. All right, we'll try again. Somehow I just ran over that and didn't see it. This is James 1:27. You're right, thank you. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So, I think that this is a wonderful miracle. In the days when there was great faithlessness on earth, just before the flood, one of the patriarchs is recorded in the book as one that prayed to God and said, "Oh, that thou wouldst keep me from evil, and thou makest me righteous and faithful." And then the next words say, "And God gave him what he asked for." Such a wonderful thing. Such a wonderful and glorious thing. I think about the Apostle Paul that says, I believe it's in the Epistle to Timothy, and said that the time of Paul's departure is at hand, and he is already being offered as a sacrifice, as an offering of true testimony and faithfulness to the Lord. The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished the race, and therefore to me the crown of life is prepared by the Lord, and not to me only, but to all that love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." That's a great and glorious miracle that the Lord is offering to everyone, not all the people. Even in the days of many miracles, the days of the apostles, and before that, when they were the disciples only and they walked with the Lord Jesus Christ, not even in those days were all healed, nor were all the healers and miracle doers. Some had one gift and some another, as the Lord has given them as it pleased the Lord. One wonderful miracle was for all the faithful ones, and that is obedience, faithfulness, and consistent, faithful following the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we see that in the last days there will be lying miracles, and yet there is a power to perform those miracles. Verse number 9 tells us that the coming or the manifestation of that wicked one, the son of perdition, his coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Earlier this morning, we ran through the book, through some passages and verses, just touching here and there to see what kind of lying wonders happened in the past. A lying wonder can be of two kinds. Sometimes it's a real wonder physically, but it's lying spiritually. Perhaps in the last days, as we read somewhere in the Revelation, I think that that Antichrist will demonstrate his power by making fire to come down, apparently from heaven down to earth. Well, indirectly, he did that in the past. His servants came to arrest, to apprehend Elisha the prophet, and God sent the fire. Why did God send the fire? To show that his power is great. But really, these people were led to be burned. They were led by their disobedience to the word of God, which is the power of Satan. Now, we read here that these lying wonders will be performed by the power of Satan. Lying wonders are those that don't really happen, only make the people believe that they happen. But also, lying wonders are those that happen in order to confirm the lie, the deception of Satan, and to discredit the word of God, and to cause the people that are not firmly established in the faith to wander and to waver and perhaps turn away from the word of God and follow Satan. There is a message in every miracle that was performed by the word of God. It was done by the word of God. It was done to proclaim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was done to reveal the power of God. The miracles that were performed by those that opposed God's word and the Lord's teaching were intended to discredit the word of God, to exalt the name of one individual or one group of people, and to dishonor the name of God, even if the words may be modified somehow as if they did worship and honor God. We know that evil spirits before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ were bowing down and saying, "Thou art the Son of God." And yet the Lord did not accept that. He forbade them. He cast them out. So these are perhaps some of the criteria or some of the ways of testing whether a miracle be true or false. There are also other ways that I observed in some groups and with some individuals. There are the people that are under the power of suggestion, something that is similar to the skill of hypnosis. And some people allow the difficulties of their life or disappointments of their life, their unfulfilled desires, to make them so depressed and so immobilized, or perhaps in a way paralyzed. They're not able to do anything good because they are so much cast down. And if they're going to trust, if they're going to have confidence and respect in another human being, whether that be some kind of a preacher or minister, or a psychologist, psychiatrist, or a great speaker, or someone who has a new gift is, who is charismatic, and they would just, with their words and their influence, dispel what that person has made himself or herself. And there will be a change. You see, if we bring a toy to a child, a crying child, chances are that that child will change his or her mood and be very happy and excited about that toy. That's not a miracle. That's deception. Should we not then comfort one another and encourage one another? Yes, we should. That is Christian and that is godly. But let us not pretend that the change that we experience in our heart is something more than just what it is. If we are comforted and if we are encouraged, that's wonderful. That's great. But if we testify that God has done something that He has not done, then we are false witnesses. So we want to be careful not to be false witnesses, but to be faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the first book of Samuel, chapter 28, there are a few verses that might be used as an example. chapter 28, verse 9. From the verse 9 and on, I will read a few verses. And that is the conversation between Saul the king and the witch that was in Endor. We read here that, well, I go back to the verse number 7. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit in Endor. And Saul disguised himself. Now he's going to deceive that woman, and then she's going to deceive him. And so they deceive one another, and they think that they received a great message. And yes, God can use even an animal to get his message, and Satan is trying to use even some godly people to get his message across and through. So everybody should be on guard. The fact that God did proclaim a truth or some facts to Balaam, the disobedient prophet, through the voice of his own animal, Balaam's donkey, spake and forbid the foolishness of the prophet. That's not a rule for us, that someone could say, well, if you want to hear the voice of God, you just look around for another donkey. You see, the voice of God for us is in the Word of God. And the Spirit of the Lord is not adding nor taking away from the Word of God. He is using the Word that He has proclaimed. So what happened to Saul? He went to this witch. Why? Because he lost his relationship with the Lord. He was in disobedience. And the Lord told to King Saul, God's will, God's word, by the prophet Samuel, once and twice. And just one time after another, Saul disobeyed. And now Saul is in distress. There is difficult time, there is dangerous time. And now he must receive some guidance, some word that is other than his own word. Saul, who trusted so many times in himself, now is discouraged and inwardly defeated. He cannot trust himself anymore. Well, he shouldn't have trusted himself from the beginning. That was the wrong thing. And that was something that led him or misled him in the wrong direction. So, because God is not answering Saul, Saul is going to seek other avenues and try to somehow get in touch with the familiar spirits. I don't believe that the evil spirits, the spirits of darkness, have the power of prophecy. They don't know what is next. They don't know what will happen. Think about the coming of our Lord and what we find about that in the epistles. That Paul the Apostle is writing somewhere that it was a mystery, that even the angels had the desire to look into that, and no one was able to find out or to know, to understand until it happened. If Satan knew that by the suffering of our Lord on the cross, Satan himself is going to be so terribly defeated, would Satan urge his followers and his victims to crucify the Son of God? So we see that whatever Satan is doing, even though he is the master deceiver, he is always deceived himself. He cannot prophesy. He cannot foretell the truth of God. Saul is asking this witch in Endor, a woman that practiced witchcraft, to tell Saul what to do. Did he get the advice? Did he get the true help? No, he didn't. He didn't. He was more discouraged. He was more defeated. He was ready to perish. And what is interesting, that the enemy of our souls and the deceiver, the devil, is using the Word of God to turn the Word of God around and to confuse those that should follow the Word of God. So there is no help from him. He cannot help. He cannot heal. He cannot do anything that is good. But he can deceive all those that believe him, that trust in him. I wonder if we earlier went through the fifth book of the scripture, Deuteronomy. That was chapter 13. I think we mentioned some. I mentioned something. I will quickly turn to that place. Deuteronomy 13. Yeah, that was about turning to other gods or to other source of power other than the Word of God and the true faith in the Lord. We read here in the verse number 16, that's chapter 13 of Deuteronomy, "If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thine own son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, so close and so dear to us, if anyone entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely, of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones that he die." Now, we know that in the New Testament, our Lord and Savior gave us different way of judging and condemning, or different way of exercising the power of the Spirit and the government of our Lord in our individual lives and in our circles as well. And how could we perform this judgment in the same meaning, and yet not physical destruction of someone who turned after other gods or idols, whether it be wealth, whether it be even physical health, or a name in this world, or some fame, or some social position, or whatever it be, idols of this world today. I think one of the mighty idols is the idol of security, idol of comfort, idol of carnal pleasures. And perhaps another one is the idol of chosen or intentional ignorance. I just don't see it, and I don't know it, and it does not bother me, even though we see that the Spirit of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, is teaching what we should do. So we should consider everyone that worships an idol as being spiritually either dying or dead, and not join nor follow. On the other hand, we should be aware of the fact that our God is Almighty God, and He can do what is pleasing Him. We need daily strengthening and encouragement in the faith to follow the Lord and to serve Him, to know and to understand His truth and rely on His power. May the Lord give us comfort, encouragement, peace of a conscience purged from sin by the blood of the Savior, and the joy of His salvation. that we may follow the Lord to the end of our pilgrimage. Amen.